Disclaimer: The Good Divorce Podcast is unscripted, authentic conversations with genuine people. Real life is hard sometimes, and that means sometimes these stories may contain content not suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to another episode, finally, of The Good Divorce Podcast. I'm Tom Kendrick. Thank you for joining me. Especially listeners in Brooklyn, New York, Wake Forest, North Carolina, Atlanta, Georgia, and Canberra, Australia. Tonight, I am grateful to hear Joyce Iyer's experience as a certified conscious uncoupling coach and share in some of the ways people will benefit from joining her or other certified coaches in that process, as well as how her divorce benefited from that and the ways in which she has navigated her own conscious uncoupling with compassion. And now let's take off into the interview with Joyce Iyer's. Before I take off into the interview, I'd like to take a moment to make space for anyone who is currently within the process of divorce or just getting started. If you're listening, know that you are not alone. Whatever you might be feeling now is true and valid. You will get through this. It is difficult, and you can do it. Tonight, I'm excited to have Joyce Iyer's on the podcast, and I'm sure you're wondering, like I am, who is Joyce Iyer's? So, Joyce, would you tell us a little bit about your background and who you are?
Gladly. I'm a relationship coach certified in the Conscious Uncoupling Program and also trained in an NLP and hypnosis and quantum time techniques, as well as embodiment, yoga. Body work and energy work. So a lot of different modalities that help us get into our bodies and with using that awareness to help navigate the world. So I'm kind of on a mission to help people and myself wake up to what's inside of us and use that as a resource, a navigation or a compass to navigate life, what we want, what do we dream about, what gives us power and passion.
That all sounds very interesting, and I'm sure we'll have a great conversation about a lot of that. You did include in your bio that you mentioned that you are divorced yourself. If you could briefly just tell the listeners what your divorce story is.
Well, I was in a relationship with my husband for 30 years. We were married for 25, and I've been divorced for 2 years. And so like the last 5 years of our relationship were quite a struggle. And before that, I was very unhappy. And I more or less blamed him for why I was unhappy, because who else? Who else to take a responsibility for my unhappiness than someone else? And, towards the end of the 5 years, I got to know, it's like, hey, like, well, maybe I had some contribution to this, unhappiness that I was feeling. And, the way things were going. And there was just a wider and wider divide towards the end. And eventually we reached a point in agreement that this isn't working out how we wanted it to. We really wanted it to. We were really struggling to find a way to connect, and it just wasn't happening. And I don't mean like just we couldn't talk. We were just really not able to relate to each other, understand. There was many misunderstandings, many assumptions. And so at the end, we both just knew, like, you know, after 5 years of trying, it's time. And I had read the Conscious Uncoupling book, and I thought it was really helpful, that it could be a real source of helping us navigate this ending to our relationship that, you know, we didn't want it, but we knew we just didn't know another way. We couldn't find another way, even though we had tried many things, different types of alternative therapy, or just, I guess, traditional therapy really, and books. And so the Conscious Uncoupling program gave us that roadmap. So we actually signed up for a program. We each had our own coach, and we went through the program at the same time, unpacking what happened and not getting into the specifics and the stories, but, you know, just like, how was I unhappy and how did I contribute to that? And what part of me was I not resourcing to help navigate what's ahead? So it gave us each the tools that we needed individually, the coaching, the support through the insights that I wasn't able to see and that he wasn't able to see for himself, the insights. And at the end of it, we did, you know, go through the divorce. We actually did it on our own. We got the paperwork and the forms, and we came to an agreement because we wanted the best for each other. We always wanted each other to be happy. We just didn't know how to give that to the other person, and it's really how we can give it to ourselves. So we navigated that quite well, and we went to court together and did the divorce, and then went out to lunch, and then wished each other well. And I know that's not the typical way of doing it. And I think if we had tried to do the divorce without the conscious uncoupling program, it would have looked much different. More the traditional way of, well, I want this and you want that. And what about this? And, you know, we would have gotten into all the nitpicky things, and they do matter, but it would have been more from a place of scarcity. It's like, well, you know, he might be doing this or she might be doing that. And I got to take care of myself. And so it was a very, very different outcome because we saw that we had each other's best intention in mind. So that's where we were. And I really want to support other people on their journey, whether they are in agreement with separating or ending their relationship or not, or they're doing it individually on their own, or their partner wants to go through this with them for the best outcome, that I want to support people through that.
So then I guess, would you say that your own experience then kind of led you into your current position as a conscious uncoupling coach then?
Yes, definitely. I was already a coach before that, you know, helping people navigate things that were coming up, their blocks, their wounds, their beliefs, you know, struggles that they're having in their lives and work or health. I was already doing that. I'd already been doing it for a number of years. And so I started to really focus in on the relationships side of it after I went through the Conscious Uncoupling program. And I believed in the program very, very strongly because of the outcome I had and the whole process that I got trained and certified in their actual program. And then that's one of my main focuses now is with people, individuals or that have actually divorced and they're still struggling to disengage from that relationship. It could be years later and they're still having or suffering or whatnot from that divorce. They haven't been able to let go. Or people that are in the process, or people who are considering it, you know, like, you know, what's next? How do I navigate this? So it's a real passion of mine to walk alongside others.
Yeah, I can definitely hear that. So you said you've been doing the coaching then for how long?
The relationship coaching for 2 years, and before that, another 5 years. And a lot of that was still relationship coaching based. This gave me more of the tools to specifically work with people in the relationships.
That's not too long of a time, but I guess over even that, the five and couple of years, have you seen much change in how you're coaching now from when you began?
Definitely. You know, with anything with over time, there's the experience and working with many, many different situations and stories and people and personalities. I've gained quite a bit more experience, knowledge, and wisdom with that. I've also took trainings in NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, which is a big one. It's like how we keep running the story and how we can change the story and do it on the neurological level, not just consciously, but working with the unconscious mind to reprogram that, to rewire it. So NLP, NLP is a little bit, I've noticed it's in the conscious uncoupling program. So I'm really glad that I am able to combine those two. So I have the NLP. I also incorporate some hypnosis, which is if people aren't familiar with hypnosis, it's as if like when you're driving a car and you go on autopilot, you're in this trance or you're just zoning out. You could be like looking at your screen, but you're not really looking at your screen. So that's going into trance. And that's exactly what hypnosis is you're completely aware of everything around you. You have choice, you have consciousness, awareness, but the trance helps you get into this relaxed state and what we call installing. So we install like, you know, you are lovable, you are worthy. You know, it's not like any of the other things people might have nightmares about or impressions from the movies. But yeah, there's always like our unconscious mind will only take in what's for our highest good. It more or less deletes the rest of it.
That's really interesting. And those two other tools, though, I guess, separate from your from the unconscious uncoupling part, they sound like good tools in your toolbox.
Yeah, definitely. There's in the conscious uncoupling program, there's a lot of body awareness and relationship to emotions and what those emotions are showing us and indicating, and actually like getting in touch with those emotions, building what we call an emotional intelligence. We can all use that.
Absolutely. From my own experience and journey, that I've definitely opened up to some learning in the emotional intelligence area myself. So certainly helpful and useful. So since you were kind of going into a little bit more of the details of the conscious uncoupling, I guess what are some more of the fundamentals of it then?
Like I was saying, I don't think I said at the beginning, it's like, or maybe that was in our conversation, it's like becoming unmarried. Instead of getting married, we're becoming unmarried. And becoming unmarried, so rather than divorcing and just like pushing aside the other person, it's like I said, we're like people have a life together and then it doesn't work out the way they want. So it's rather than just like knocking the person over, we just like separating and wishing them well. And appreciate what you've learned, what I've learned along the way, and seeing it as an opportunity for growth. Seeing it as an opportunity to wish someone well. You know, like there's like a metta meditation or Ho'oponopono, if people are familiar with that. It's like, you know, taking what we have struggled with, the pain within ourselves, and knowing that the other person has also gone through struggles and pain, and to honor both experiences. And again, wishing them well, like wishing them that they'll find the happiness, that they'll have a new beginning. So that's really the fundamentals of conscious uncoupling, is like through our own healing, we have the capacity and the space to also want that for the other person. And, you know, it's because as long as we hang on to that hurt and bitterness, and then always like pushing it towards the other person, we'll never be done with it either. And it'll always be there, and it'll go into the next relationship. So it's really a fundamental part of conscious uncoupling, is that we don't take all of the, whatever was there in that relationship and take it in and put it into another relationship. Because, you know, because how are we supposed to do the next relationship different is if we keep bringing everything along with us. So how we've done things in the past, we kind of leave that in the past and then get the learnings so that we can go forward into the future with a new beginning, creating that new beginning where anger is left behind, resentment and pain is left behind. And then we open up that we have more capacity for love and appreciation and acceptance and forgiveness, you know, like, cause there's a lot of forgiving that, yeah, like I didn't give myself what I needed in the relationship. I didn't ask for what I wanted. I did this or that. And, you know, having that compassion for myself and forgiving myself for the mistakes, but also the learning, and then forgiving the other person for showing up how they were. And, you know, there's, you know, a little trigger that people might have is when I say this, and maybe not, it's like how we're showing up is actually teaching other people how to treat us. So if I always put my needs aside for other people, even as much as they start off meeting our needs, eventually we're telling them, no, don't meet my needs. Don't do that for me. And so we actually teach people how we expect to be treated as well. And I do say that from experience. And there's lots of studies, lots of different research on that. So that's one of the main, those are the main things about conscious uncoupling, is that we just leave behind what was there that doesn't serve us going forward. And so we have that more, that clarity, you know, rather than having the laser focus of, you know, the blame, that we have the wider vision, you know, even expanding your vision can do that. Having like your eyes wider, where you see, you know, beside you and front and below, you have this like really wide view, as opposed to this really tunnel vision, which is what we tend to get into when things aren't going well in a relationship.
Yes, that's a very helpful description of the fundamentals there. I appreciate that. I can certainly say from my own experience there, your kind of final idea about a wider perspective, I'm not sure exactly how it came to me to take some different perspectives or, you know, make those attempts. Though I, as I think about it now, I suppose it probably, probably came from my own therapy sessions. Yeah, there's definitely a great value in stepping outside yourself and looking at what the other person might have experienced or is experiencing. So having this be a part of conscious uncoupling, then I can definitely tell that would have a great benefit for anybody who is stepping through that. So the conscious uncoupling, did the coaching process then come from, it's a book, right? Did it start out as the book, or is it the other way around?
Well, the author is Catherine Woodward Thomas, and she had written a book before that, and she Calling in the One. And so she had called in her one, and they were together for quite a while, and then their relationship was ending, and she did not want to go through the divorce like everyone else she had seen. So she created something different, and then eventually wrote a book about it, about that experience, because it's like, yeah, like I was able to do this. It's not like it wasn't a piece of cake or it was easy, but there is another way. There's always another way. It's a matter of we're open to seeing it or creating it. And so she created another way and she shared it with the world.
So then how can people benefit from using a coached process, perhaps, than simply reading the book alone?
Definitely there's a benefit to having a coach. Like I said, you know, the 5 years that we really struggled at the end, we had read quite a few books. We tried implementing some of the practices through those. And, you know, we'd get a couple of weeks, maybe a month into it, and it would fall off. But, you know, our stuff would come up. And it's almost like we were trying to process our stuff with each other when we were already in a difficult place. And so having a coach I don't know if our stuff is a good word, but, you know, when we get triggered and we go into the old story, well, he did this and this is that, and this has always been this and this never this. It's like putting a reality check on it in a way. And it's like, well, you know, what else is there? What are you noticing? And so it's coaching through the process, you know, taking people through that process, just like my husband and I each went through our own process. It wasn't one person as we sat down together talking about it. It's like, no, like he was over here doing his work and I was over here doing my work. And you know, over time, through being able to have someone guide us through the program, asking the questions, helping us get the clarity, each of us get the clarity about what was really happening and what we were really feeling and what we weren't doing for ourselves or what we were doing to ourselves. You know, like it's hard to own up to the mistakes that we make. It's like, you know, it's like, oh, I really have to like really take ownership of that. Oh, that's ugly. That hurts. Ouch. But that's what it takes. And that's where we get the power back. That's where we get to heal and change that perspective, change the outcome, change the flow. So yeah, having a coach to walk alongside you and someone that's neutral as well. Like, you know, like sometimes when you talk to family or friends, they're like, oh yeah, he's like, I always saw him like that, you know, like, and so they kind of feed into it instead of just having this neutral, or not even neutral, but just like a really clear perspective and helping me have a clear perspective. That's what I can do for others as a coach. So just being there along the way, because there's a lot of resistance that comes up when we're looking for change. We, as much as we want change, there's so much resistance, and we may get a little bit ahead on our own, but then our default, you know, the unconscious part of us, that default puts us right back. It's like, okay, whether it's money or happiness, like we start to get happy, or you know, we start to have a good job, our health starts to go really well, but there's something inside of us like, no, like, you know, this is your threshold. And if you get a little bit above it, a little too happy, a little too healthy, a little bit more money, like it's okay for a little bit, but then something in us is like, no. And then the money disappears, the health starts to decline, the happiness, and then you go right back. So we want to change this threshold through the coaching and through the program so that the threshold becomes up here, and it just keeps going up and up.
All right. That sounds really interesting. And I can definitely appreciate the idea behind, so to speak, an unbiased third party. In my own experience, I sought advice from friends at times, and Like you said, depending on who you're talking to, you know, you're going to get somebody who's very strongly on your side and or somebody who's going to be have some sort of a bias, while in that moment, that bias might feel good to you. In the end, it's not as helpful as it could be. So I can certainly appreciate the idea behind having someone outside to help you step through that in a way that is productive for everybody. Mm-hmm. Do you have any recommendations for people who might be interested in joining a conscious uncoupling process for things they might do on their own before seeking a coach?
Yeah. And this can apply to anyone is, you know, wherever you are on your journey, and especially, you know, in a relationship that's ending or has ended and you're still, you know, navigating how to release yourself with that, just have a lot of compassion for yourself. I talked about, you know, honoring what we're going through. And then when we can build more of that compassion and forgiveness for ourselves, then we now have capacity to have that for other people. We're not so hard on other people because they're basically a mirror for us. So if we're always judging others or criticizing them, it's like, well, how much are we doing that ourselves? So being aware of your thoughts, what kind of thoughts are you having? What kind of triggers are there that you come across that create a thought or create a reaction? So really kind of like I talked about embodiment, like really take notice of how your body is responding. When you're tired, are you more irritable? And when you're rested and you're taking care of yourself and you're honoring yourself, loving yourself, does that create more compassion for other people and understanding and appreciation or acceptance? And also for yourself, like, can you appreciate yourself even more for what you're trying to do in life and who you're trying to be? And having those boundaries. So, you know, like what, you know, it's like, oh, I can't really have a boundary like that because then it'll upset the other person, or I couldn't ask for that, or I shouldn't expect that. It's like, well, if it's coming from the heart space, your heart space, and there's like a deeper part of you that is requesting it, then you know it's for your higher good. And it can be done in a loving way. It's not like, you know, a lot of times we like, if I want something, I have to get mean, I have to get nasty, and I have to ask for it, I have to demand it. It's like, maybe that's where someone might be at the moment because of how they're feeling about themselves and how the relationship is going, but it doesn't have to always be that way. So just checking in with yourself, what emotion are you experiencing? Again, building that emotional intelligence. And when we have more vocabulary around what we're feeling, then it takes the intensity, it lowers the intensity of it when we can start to identify what it is and name it. And then in that process of considering what emotion is there, you can also ask yourself, what is this emotion trying to tell you? You know, I read a good book. It's, it's the language of emotions, I think it's called. And it's each of the emotions and what the emotions are trying to tell you. Like if you're angry, it's about boundaries. Do you have them or don't you have them? Or is somebody trying to break your boundaries? And so, you know, and so it'll go into all of the emotions and each emotion, there's not a good one or a bad one or a right or a wrong. They're just an emotion. It's like, well, if that part of me is bad for having that emotion, that part of me is good for having emotion, like good girl, bad boy, you know, bad boy, good girl. they're just an emotion. It's just all a part of you. And it's a message to help you navigate what to do next, whether it's to pause or let something go or create that boundary. So if you really get in touch with your emotions, that's one of the bigger ones. And then as you're learning, have that compassion for yourself, have the compassion for the other person.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. One thing that I came across is name it to tame it. There's definitely value in that. It's definitely it definitely has a purpose. There's a purpose for that statement. So
yeah, I like that. It's name it to tame it. Sure. It's kind of like this wild emotion that's let loose.
Yeah.
Or if we stuff it, it's like going in the pressure cooker, you know, just it gets stuffed down. And then eventually something happens. It could be something really little and you explode and like, and then we get scared because it's so intense. It's like, you know, almost out of control. But the more we can release it and name it, the less intensity it has over us.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. One thing that caught my attention, the way you were describing having a relationship that might have already ended, can someone who's already, you know, gone, completed their divorce and have gone their separate ways, can that person utilize the conscious uncoupling process just on their own as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, it doesn't, I don't know, you know, what the percentages are of people who are in agreement, like, you know, the two people are in agreement of having a divorce. Most of the time it's one person wants the divorce and the other person doesn't. And where does that leave each person? So yeah. And, you know, there's people that have had their relationship end. Like I'm 2 years since my divorce, and there's other people I've come across that, you know, 15 years later, there's like, oh, maybe I'll start dating. It's like, you know, so they've held on to something for 15 years, you know, that they didn't let it go, or they didn't heal a part of themselves. So it stayed with them. It's like, no, I never, ever want to get married again. I'm never going to find love again. Like, you know, or love doesn't exist, or happiness, you know, like I can only be happy single because I'm the only one I can trust. And it's like, well, if you can really trust yourself, then you are in a better place when you can really trust yourself and really take care of yourself in that way, which allows you to open up. So yeah, the conscious uncoupling program is definitely for people who have divorced, whatever length of time has passed by.
Yeah, I think that's helpful to know for sure. Does the conscious uncoupling process include methods for co-parenting?
Yes, the book assumes that there will be children involved in some situations. And that, again, when we are wanting a better outcome for ourselves and our partner, and there's children involved, then we keep that sense of trying to foster like this sense of family. The family state is staying together. It just looks differently. You know, like mom and dad maybe live in different places, but there's still this sense of family for the children. And when the two adults are in a healthier place together, they can also install that in their children. Like there's not, you know, mom and dad aren't together anymore, and we're all going to do our best to keep everything as not the same, but like that there's this harmony between people. Like, you know, the parents are parenting, not fighting over how to parent and fighting over old emotions that haven't been healed or addressed, so that gets cleared out, you know, and that takes time. It's not going to be instant, but it can clear out. And then so when you're parenting, the child is at the forefront rather than an old wound that didn't get acknowledged or something. So the program can help, you know, through helping people become aware of their patterns, we can start to reprogram that pattern. And how, and by reprogram the pattern of each individual through the process, then now the dynamic of the relationship can change to be a healthier one. And then through that healthier relationship, then the children also grow up with a healthier role model of what interacting together means, like how it can look, rather than one against the other and wanting, you know, like not wanting the other person, you know, like wishing them harm or something. Yeah. So the children have a healthier perspective of life. You know, it's not, we kind of redefine what ending a relationship looks like for the children.
Yeah. Again, in my own experience, I've on prior episodes, and through other venues, I've given my former spouse credit for very early on in the conversation stating that, you know, we were and continued to be a good parenting team. And that was something that was desired and communicated. And having that communicated at early on, for my own situation anyway, it really helped me to keep the children at the forefront, like you said. So it just happened to work out that way for us. But certainly helpful to have in this process a steps for that to happen as well, for people who might be getting caught up in the other parts of it, you know, getting off that path. So that's good to hear.
Yeah, you go from like having maybe a dysfunctional family or codependency or certain attachment styles, and we get clear on how when each person gets clear on how they've been showing up, then those things can be addressed. And now there's a healthier way to interact that the children can witness and be a part of and learn as well.
Yes, absolutely. See, I guess as we're continuing to speak about children being involved in your work, how have you seen people handling integrating new partners into their child's lives and how that affects the co-parenting relationship?
Yeah, like there's like a third dynamic or whatnot that comes into the picture with that. And I was just saying before, when we can heal the parts of ourselves that feel, you know, wounded or, you know, something that goes back to childhood, when we can identify that, and that comes out in the conscious uncoupling program, when those areas can be identified and healed, acknowledged, and see what's now possible, then we begin to attract a different kind of person than who we were with originally. And so that new person that we're attracting is more in alignment with, you know, how the person is going through the program. So if you just kind of jump from one relationship and you don't do the work, and then you get into another relationship, what is like 50%, you know, chance, I think they say that you just marry the same kind of person, just different, you know, maybe a slight different, even like the look of that person can be the same. A friend of mine, you know, when she divorced, I saw a picture of her and her new husband, and I'm like, wow, that looks a lot like the old one. So not much changes. So like maybe, yeah, the person is still attracted to the same person physically, but can definitely draw in or call in or attract someone who's at a different place in life than the one you were with. And so that co-parenting can be a lot more, I'm trying to remember what they, you know, like blended families. So that the person coming in is aligned with the parent, and that dynamic is supporting each other. And then between like the three or four people involved with parenting, now there's more communication and respect and appreciation in that, because what's been established between the two parents is now the new norm, and the person coming in is aligning with that parent. So it blends a lot better than if you don't have that program. Again, that they say the issues will arise, and now you have this third person that's in the conflict, that's in the dynamic. And if they're trying to say, well, you need to do this and you need to do that, because like there's still all this power struggle or the struggle for what's right or what's wrong or how it's supposed to look. So yeah, through our own work, we draw in that new partner that supports the dynamic that's been created between the actual parents.
I think that will be helpful for people beginning to navigate the new partner dynamic and working out what blending of families looks like. It's certainly a big topic on its own, and it certainly can use its own support system too. So what advice do you have for people just starting out in a relationship? What should they know about divorce?
Well, the word divorce tends to have a stigmatism or whatever, not stigmatism, with, you know, an oppression.
Stigma.
Okay, stigma. Yes. I think stigmatism, that's eyes, a stigma to it. And that's the whole point of this book, this program, and this new way of doing it, that we're teaching our culture that divorce can look different. And it's not something to, you know, some people have shame. They want to hide it. I'm a failure. Like all these things. It's like, you know, do we say that when a job doesn't work out? No, we just, you know, like, okay, whatever happened there, maybe not a good match or maybe skills didn't align or whatnot, but you know, okay, now go find another job where you can use your skills and be happier and feel like you're contributing. Well, same with the relationships, like even more so because it's like you're so close to that person and intimate in relating to them and interacting with them, that, you know, it's a very, it's a dynamic to really navigate. And that's where, you know, having the support along the way is so helpful. So when people can see divorce, not as something to like a way to get away from someone, but as a way of learning that, you know, it's okay, go into the relationship and see what's there. See how, you know, slowly go into the relationship, see how you're responding to that person, acknowledge yourself for how well you get along, and acknowledge yourself for what you give away, that you really kind of have a sense that now that doesn't feel right. That's, you know, you really have a sense of what it is that you know going into a relationship. So many times we don't know what we want or who we are or what matters to us, like what do I already feel like I'm lovable? Do I already feel like I'm worthy of asking for what I want? You know, going into that relationship with a much healthier attitude about who we are, how we view ourselves, and see if you maintain that state with the other person, or do you start becoming less of something or more of something in that person? Like, does that person, I don't know, compliment you, or, you know, do they come alongside you, or is there like a, you know, like one giving and one receiving and a lot, and, you know, like what's the dynamic of the relationship for someone coming or entering this journey? And do you stay consistent with who you are throughout, or do you start altering who you are? Are you sacrificing, or are you, what's the other word? What's the opposite of not sacrificing? Like, you know, where you,
I'm trying to think.
Yeah. You're not giving up something, but you're coming to find that middle ground. I can explain it better than I can find a word. You know, you can come into a middle ground where, hey, like it, maybe it's not this way or it's that way. Like, you know, it's my way or your way, but hey, let's look at a third way. So being open to like, what's another possibility here where we both can enjoy something, or maybe it is like, well, one time this way or one time that way without keeping track, you know, all those things. It's like, you know, there's just being this really healthy place of love and seeing the other person, appreciate them and they appreciate you, and know what it is that you want in the relationship.
I think that's helpful information for people just starting out. And I really appreciate the idea that you spoke about the stigma and shame and all that, because in my own lived experience, that's what I knew it to be. And so at the very outset of the idea of that happening to myself, I had a lot of fear about it because of that. And having step through it myself and with the various supports and things that I've done on my own, you know, that's what led me to starting this podcast, and particularly calling it the Good Divorce Podcast, because in my own experience, I would call my divorce a good one, particularly in speaking with other people now and getting this podcast out there. I'm learning that that's more frequent than people know about. And so that's my hope then, is to get those stories out. And it's definitely helpful to have someone like you out there as well, pushing the idea of positivity in divorce. So that's great to hear.
Yeah. Thank you for inviting me on as your guest, and that I really align with what you're doing, you know, to kind of change the culture, change the attitude around relationships ending. And yes, you know, maybe we do call them something different, you know, other than a divorce, being unmarried or unattached, or I don't know. And, you know, you know, instead of my ex this, or my former, you know, there's all kinds of words. I like husband. It's like an endearment, you know, rather than, you know, calling someone honey or whatever other pet name. It's like, now you're my husband, and I haven't heard one yet for wife.
I like that term. I had not heard that before myself. And yeah, I agree. Though it's convenient, I don't like to use the term ex. It just feels yucky to me. I lean towards former spouse anyway, but the terms and things, I've thought that myself too, that divorce is really the legal process. The everything else that surrounds and takes apart should be called something else. I agree.
Yeah, uncoupling.
Yeah, there we go. Exactly. Yeah.
Rather than just being unconscious in the relationship, now we're becoming conscious,
yeah,
of how we are being intentionally and moving forward consciously by healing the unconscious.
Yes, I like that. That's very good. Can you tell the listeners about an especially inspiring or transformative coaching session you've had?
Mm. Yeah, definitely an inspiring one. A bit of a younger couple. Kind of like in a bit like my story, you know, we just really loved each other, but there was just something that wasn't going well anymore, and a lot of codependencies a lot of, you know, each one giving up something for the other, for their happiness, and not being able to find happiness themselves. And eventually, you know, the divide got more and more and deeper, and, you know, like, started looking in the other direction, you know, like kind of grass is greener somewhere else. And, but really just the heart, their hearts were still together. But they just couldn't find a way to come back to what they had originally, and, taking some time apart, you know, to like, hey, you know, like, let's, you know, let's just kind of be apart for a bit and see what we can discover. And then, you know, finding that they each were happier, but still codependent, not able to let each other go. So there's just really this clinging to one another, clinging to hope that maybe it would work out. And finally discovering, it's like, no, it's just, they discovered, you know, and then started going through the program because they didn't know what was next. And then discovering that, oh yeah, like, you know, we actually can still have this love for each other and compassion and caring, but from a distance. So they weren't able to see that. It was kind of like, well, either we're married or we're not. And if we're not, then, you know, it has to look however, like, you know, like, don't ever talk to me again. And so, but they were, you know, really wanting the other person to be happy, but they also wanted more so their own happiness. And so going through the program, they were able to lovingly, you know, say goodbye and part ways and find a healthier place within themselves, rather than looking to the other person all the time, you know, like, you know, to rescue me or to save her, you know, like all of that. They just got to a much healthier place, and yeah, eventually went through the divorce process. And, you know, they can pass each other, they can talk to each other. This couple didn't have kids, but they, you know, they could, you know, still wish each other happy birthday, and, you know, reach out at Christmas and holidays. And they had mutual friends, you know, just to kind of like, you develop mutual friends. And so the friends all didn't have to pick sides, which also comes up, you know, this program addresses that, like, you know, the family and the friends, that no, you don't have to pick sides. We're okay. We're going to be okay. It's okay to still communicate with the other person. And so it keeps the whole family intact. It keeps the whole dynamic of friendships there, that there's, that others don't have to decide who they're going to, you know, go with, because the couple establish how it's going to be. Just like when, you know, like co-parenting, it's like the couple, the parents establish how it's going to look, and that there doesn't need to be a fight or whatnot. So it did have a really good ending, and they were able to go on and, you know, start dating again, not out of fear or have guilt over, you know, dating, but yeah, like, you know, like knowing that the other person will find someone for them. So that was a wonderful ending, and, you know, like wishing each other well and happiness. And they'll find what they're looking for. Each will find what they're looking for and celebrate that for them.
I like that a lot. That's certainly inspiring. I hope to find more stories like that myself and to be able to share them, because I think it's what's needed, and because it shows people that it can be done that way. And so I'm glad that you have at least that one. I'm sure you have many more just like that, that you can pull from the hat, so to speak. So that's great that you have that. I appreciate your sharing that story. Well, overall, I've really enjoyed learning more about the conscious uncoupling process that you coach people through. It sounds very helpful and healthy. And to me, it sounds like neither my former spouse or I read the book. I don't think I even heard the title until more recently, but by happenstance, I would say it seems we have stepped through that process on our own in some way. And for me, that's really good to just experience and learn that. And so I'm really appreciate that you have reached out to me and showed interest in being a guest here. Three final questions. Since this is the Good Divorce podcast, and you've just described one way in which people going through it or who have gone through a separation and divorce can work through the hard things and process it, how do you define what a good divorce is?
Probably a lot of what I've already said is, you know, a good divorce is that we learn something from the experience. There's something that we take away other than you know, the traditional hurt and resentments and bitterness, that we take away the learning, and that this person was a part of your life. You know, you chose this person for a reason. You had this experience with them. You created memories. You know, we tend to sometimes forget the good memories, depending on where our mindset is. You know, the good memories, like what attracted us to them. And, you know, where did it change along the way, and get that back, get that part of ourselves back? Or maybe it was a part, maybe it was meant for us to learn and grow to the next thing. So a good divorce is to, you know, have some gratitude and thanks for the experience, for having a part of your life with them, and maybe had children together and had some traditions, and that that's all part of life. You know, when somebody passes away, you know, we're really sad when they're gone, and we grieve and we mourn, and we can either choose to sit in that sadness, or we can choose to remember them, remember the good things, and have those takeaways that help us to be better people for ourselves, to take care of ourselves better, to be there for other people in a different way. So yeah, just get those learnings. So the good, it's a good divorce. It was something that good came out of it, was a growth, a new understanding, a new appreciation, a new transformation. Because there's whether it's a health, whether it's health related or job related or something else, you know, we're always growing. And it's just one other way that helps us to grow.
Absolutely. Yes, I can definitely appreciate the need for gratitude and remembering the past experiences and all those good things. You're exactly right. They don't go away. They don't suddenly turn bad. There's still things that happened, and we're still good times that you can remember. So appreciate that definition. Outside of unconscious, oh my gosh, that's so easy to do. Outside of conscious uncoupling, do you have another book, author, or other resource that you find yourself frequently recommending?
I mentioned the one, The Language of Emotions. I don't recall the author. You know, lots of books by, like, lots of Brené Brown's books and Joe Dispenza. There's Bessel van der Kolk. It's The Body Keeps the Score. So all those things help us to tune inward, you know, through meditation, awareness. Those are a lot of resources that I use. I think, there's one other, Feminine Genius, was a really, really powerful book for me. Okay. I'm just not recalling the author. Feminine Genius.
Very good. Yeah. Some of those I had not heard of. Brené Brown is a big one for me as well. But those, I'll probably be looking some of those up myself. And finally, how can listeners stay connected and engaged with you?
Well, you can go to my website. It's Awaken Wellness Within Reach. You can go to my website. That's also my Facebook page and Instagram. So you could go to any one of those places to see my posts, to see other services that I have on my website, all the different areas that I use to work with people at. If you go to my Instagram account, you can also get the self-love challenge. There's a little area at the top in the bio called Linktree. And when you click on that, it'll take you to the self-love challenge. So it's for 21 days and different exercises and different ways to love on yourself and appreciate yourself and build that awareness. So I invite people to do that, to go there to get that self-love challenge and to share it with others.
That sounds great too. Yeah. I am definitely a proponent of those types of self-work things. There's definitely steps that I've taken similar to that to help me along the way. So always good to have new resources like that. So appreciate that. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to join me and share your own story, especially share your knowledge and experience in the conscious uncoupling coaching that you do. It's always interesting for me to hear others' stories, and I'm very grateful that you decided to be a part of this. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you very much. I really enjoyed being a part of this, and as well as others that have come along to support what you're doing, your mission for creating a good divorce.
If you'd like to have more frequently released stories, make sure you share this podcast with others. And contact me if you have a story to share or know someone who does. Please check out the Good Divorce Podcast page on Facebook for additional information, or email your guest suggestions to gooddivorcepodcast@gmail.com. Everyone has a story to tell, and I would love to hear and share yours. Together, we can find and live the good in a tough situation. If you've enjoyed this episode and others, I hope you'll consider a contribution to help support the creation of this podcast. This podcast will remain advertisement-free. You can contribute using PayPal at tkendrick179 or Venmo at tomkendrick. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Good Divorce Podcast. To learn more, please find the Good Divorce Podcast page on Facebook. You can also find other social media posts on Instagram at Good Divorce Podcast and on Twitter at Divorce Good. I hope you've enjoyed this story. Together, we can find and live the good in a tough situation.